Well, we're looking again today into our teaching topic of submission and authority. Last week we started talking about really submission to our own human spirit, submitting to our spirit. There's one thing, we're going to submit one way or the other to our spirit or to our flesh, one of the two. And it's getting ourselves over to renewing our mind and bringing our flesh under control. Paul talked about and used the example of that we had where he, you know, spoke about the what we would call in his day, they had the Olympics went on in those days too. Those were big things, and people knew about them, like worldwide they were things. And so he talked about people running races and what they do, and the whole thing is to win. And he talked about to the believer that he had written to them at Corinth that they're supposed to, in the race that they're running, in this Christian race, the spiritual race that we're in, but we're supposed to run to win the race, not just, we're not just out in just to do it. In fact, it's funny, I was just talking to a guy who, they just had a race, I don't know where it was at, it might have been Hershey or someplace. They just had ran a half a marathon. I mean, there's like 5,000-6,000 people showed up to run that thing. A half a marathon. And he talked about where he came in 1,000th or something. There was something like, in his class that he ran in, there was over 2,000 people. And he was like a little over 1,000 or something like that coming in. And he said, he just runs it to run. It's not running to win. He's not in competition because he doesn't do that. But, and I thought about, there's people, they go up there and do it. A lot of people, they do that stuff to get in shape, see how, and it can be beneficial to them. But they're not trying to win the race. And Paul talks about the spiritual race we're supposed to be, the spiritual race is not like in life where people are just, well, I'm just sort of in this, just how it turns out, whatever. We're supposed to be in a competition really to win the race that we're in, not in competition to other people. But in a sense, there's a crown to be worn and to be won, and we're supposed to be running so we get reward. We're supposed to do that. We're not supposed to be one of the people that just, well, I just made it in. I just crossed the finish line. There's supposed to be reward, and that's what Paul talked about. And Paul talked about, he said, he said, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself become a disqualified, or that word disqualified means a reject. And so and he doesn't become a Christian reject. He didn't want to. So in other words, Paul's really saying there's people who are disqualified as Christians and they're Christian rejects. And I don't want to get into that category. So Paul made mention in Galatians what we've talked about, the last scripture we talked about last week from Galatians, the fifth chapter. In verse 16 and 17, Paul wrote and said there, he said, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So if we can walk in the Spirit or be in contact with our inner man, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And this is what we're trying to do. Paul says is bringing the flesh under control. And, let me just say this. We don't want to get weird over in this area. I've heard teaching and stuff over the years, and I've read into the past where people got into really weird things about this, where the denying of the body things, people carry it to extremes. And I want you to understand, we're not talking, you do have flesh and you need to take care of it, okay? And that's part of submission too, is learning what you do have to do to your flesh to take care of it, the right things to do. Because that's an important thing too. You don't want to deny your flesh. Your flesh can dominate you because you deny it what it really needs. So, to be well and healthy, you can deny. So, in other words, there's a balance to this. But we want to walk in the Spirit. And there's one thing I've learned. The more I pay attention about the Spirit, then if there's things about my body, I'm going to have more sense about too. There's things that I found out. There's things we need to do physically about our body, but yet there's extremes today. There's so many extremes taught, and even from the medical side, is wrong. They're teaching extremes, all the time. Everybody's, if you look on the medical side, you'd go to the doctor every week to be checked for everything. They're just extremes on every side you turn. And this is one thing is getting over in the Spirit and learning to be led by the Spirit. We get a balance of things. Of what to do so we don't become, we don't get dominated in the area. like I said, Brother Hagin used to make people become so spiritually minded they're no earthly good. Well, in a sense, you could become that by just getting over in the areas of things about the spirit, but not paying attention to natural things. If you ever checked, you do have a natural body, and it is necessary to keep it alive if you want to stay in the earth. And I know many Christians consider themselves spiritual, but their body dominates them, and it dominates. You know, really, when a person gets sick, like I just feel like our neighbor lady over here with cancer and that stuff, and her body's dominating her. It's terrible. It's horrible. What's she going through? I mean, but she's really, what, the flesh is ruling, because it governs everything now she does, and she can't, you know, it's killing her body. And so you have it over there. So see, a lot of people don't think about that. We don't think about divine health and things is the purpose, so our body don't control us and dominate us. That's what it's there for. God supplied. Why? Because your body. See, most people think, well, it's getting over here just sinning, doing things wrong. I remember I heard Kenneth Hagin say this on a tape when I first got born again. And I'll tell you what, people wouldn't say it today, most ministers. In fact, I never heard anybody say it, probably other than me repeating what he said. He said this one time. He said, it ain't a sin to get sick, but he said it's a sin to stay sick. I thought, oh my God. Well, understand the class of people he's talking to. He's not talking to everybody. The rest of them ain't going to get it. But he's talking to people. It's like, so our body's not supposed to dominate us in those areas. We've made sickness and disease acceptable in the church world today. That's acceptable. I mean, if you're really sick, well, nothing you can do about it. I mean, you're just... And so we made it, but yet the body dominates. And that's when I said last week in the teaching, that's when the Lord had spoke to me and told me years ago about the fact that body domination. He said the number one thing he wanted for his people to be born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. The number one thing he wanted for them is to be well, because he said Satan keeps them from fulfilling his will because he keeps them sick. He steals their money. Through sickness, he steals their money. Either they can't go to work and make money, or the money they get, they're putting it out on things to try to stay well. And then on the other side of it is, when they're sick, they can't come and go and do the things maybe God wants them to do. So they're being robbed. And as long as people don't see that, we've made sickness an acceptable thing where, you know, in fact, we pat it and pit it. I mean, you get sick, you can get more cards and more flowers and stuff that you'd ever get when you're well. Now think about it. What have we done to it? We've made the thing. There's nothing matter than paying attention to a person with that to try to help them. But I'll never forget this. I was at a down at the worship center back. This is years ago. Wanda and I attended down there. We helped them out they had a children's crusade. And there was this Rhema grad who used to do children's crusades. And he had a really good ministry. He pastors a church down toward Philly now. Down toward Pensauken, down in that area. But anyhow, he came and was running the Children's Crusade. In fact, years ago, we had him in our church. He was there one time. But years ago, he, in these crusades that he held, and he was really good, he would get kids saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I mean, loads of them. And he'd get kids healed. But at that thing, I was probably about 500 kids at this thing that they had. And man, I bet you he got 250 kids filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. And I mean, little kids, from kids from 3, 4, 5 years old up to, you know, about 12. A bunch of you little kids got speaking in other tongues and stuff. But I'll never forget what they did is, like, Wanda and I, we had a group of kids that we sort of looked over, you know, and so what they do, this is where they could sort of organize, and so kids just weren't on their own and stuff. So we had this group of kids that Juan and I had. And I'll never forget, he stood up front and he said, was talking about sickness and healing, because what he'd do, one service he went and did for them had salvation. The next service he did for them had to do with baptism of the Holy Ghost. The next service he did to them had about healing. So he's doing the healing service and he's teaching kids about healing and how God wants them well. And he makes this statement and he says, nobody likes to be sick. And this little girl in our group, she said to me, I like to be sick. I said, you like to be sick? She said, yeah. She said, if I get sick, my parents buy me gifts and do stuff. Boy, I tell you, God witnesses things in me and that. And I started to see this. And you know what? I watched this, and I see adults who have grown up like that. And they use sickness as getting their attention. That's how they get their attention. That's how they get people to. We had a lady years ago that used to go to our church. She died. She died. Now, she died like she was only, you know, a little over 60, and she died. She loved being sick. She loved it. She just loved telling everybody about all her problems. She just come. I set her down, talked to her about it. She'd go to all this thing and believe in God's healing. She wasn't no more believing nobody for healing for nothing. She wasn't. She loved being sick. So really, see, things get perverted. They get weird out there. So she is dominated and bound over in an area, and she can never grow up. She can never grow up spiritually because she clung to that. So she never grew up spiritually. Couldn't grow up spiritually. Because that dominated her. That part of her flesh ruled everything over her where she couldn't grow spiritually. And sad but true. But see, this all has to do is you walk in the Spirit, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh does wants the weirdest things and likes it. I mean, you know, it's like to me, it doesn't seem logical that, like, say, a woman would live with a man who beats her up and stays with him. It don't seem logical to me. But see, there are people that get things happen weird, and you just don't. It doesn't make any sense, but yet it goes on. It happens. In it's like it all seems crazy to us. People are dominated and ruled by demonic stuff, and you sit and look at it and say, well, why wouldn't they want to be free? But some people don't want to be free of things. And it says, boy, it seems insane, but that's that's life. So anyhow, now in 1 Corinthians, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians, we had read before in the 9th chapter in verse 27. We're going to look at verse 27. We had read this before, but Paul made this statement, and I'm going to, I just read it, said it again, but we're going to read through it again here just to put where it's at. He said, but I discipline my body, and I said, I bring it into subjection. I discipline my body. And I remember that Kenneth Hagin teaching along this line, and what he was teaching is he was teaching on the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit when he taught this. But he said, "But I discipline my body." He said, "You need to understand this." He said, "If you study Scripture," he said, "nowhere in the New Testament that God tells you that He's going to do anything about your body." He said, "Your body and your soul are up to you to what you're going to do with it." See, God did something about our spirit, didn't He? let's put it this way. No matter how you'd have wanted to, you couldn't have got born again unless He did. That wasn't going to change. We responded, but when it comes to... Now, that doesn't mean He won't help you. The Holy Spirit's a helper, but He'll help us do things, but He's not going to do it. And see, a lot of people think He'll just do it. You know, I got saved, He'll do it. No, He doesn't. Because Paul said, I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection. And I remember Kenneth Hagin, when I first heard him teach that, and it goes back to when I first got born again, and he taught about you're going to have to do something about your body, you're going to have to do things about bringing it into subjection. And that's when he said, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. But we're going to have to do something about our body to bring it under. And we found out in Galatians, he said, if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it isn't just by rule and regulation. So in other words, we need to understand this. What we do in lots of times is like we talked last week, people lay out diets. So don't eat this, touch this, you can have this, you can't have that. It's all these rules and regulations. And people don't stick with it. And it don't. Because it's... It's just a bit of insanity. In fact, I wasn't going to go there, but it would be good, I guess, if I did, is to read here in Colossians what Paul said. Listen, in the second chapter, I'm going to start reading it, and then we'll read into the third chapter. I want to read a section here that the Apostle Paul wrote. Apostle Paul was dealing with the church at Colossae about legalism. He talks to them about they were circumcised. He talked about in circumcision wasn't made with hands, that they're belonging to Christ, that Christ disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle. Verse 16, he says, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. Now, so see, the what was happening was is the Gentiles were always having Jews coming along behind Paul and trying to make them follow the law. Paul would go into a place and preach and get people saved, get a church started, and Jews would run in behind him, Christian Jews, because we know this happened. The Christian Jews came out of Jerusalem from James and came up and tried to, and Paul, you know, ended up jumping on Peter about why you turn around and trying to make the Gentiles do what you do when you don't do what the Jews do. Told him, really called him a hypocrite. What he was doing. So these people would come and try to bring, you know, you have to follow these regulations. So, and it wasn't just, so in other words, you have to follow these certain festivals. See, the Jewish religion had the festivals. Now, all those festivals, everything was fulfilled in Christ. So in other words, they were pointing to something, but when that thing was fulfilled, there's, you don't go on and keep practicing that. Well, they wanted people to keep practicing those things. There isn't nothing matter we go back and teach and talk about their fulfillment, but just like this, I get letters all the time, emails from Jewish organizations, Christian Jewish organizations that always want to come back in, they want to come to churches and teach you about, you know, the Jewish festivals. They want to come and teach you about, you know, the Passover. And what they want you to do is practice Passover like the Jews do. I know, I've talked to them and I've been around them and I ain't doing that. We ain't not going back over that. We can learn from that to look to see the fulfillment of Christ in it, to see that, yes, Jesus is the Messiah, but Jesus told the disciples on the night they were betrayed what they were supposed to practice. They were supposed to take bread and wine, and that was it. And that you do this till I come back. He didn't tell them, you keep practicing this over here, killing lambs and doing stuff. He didn't tell them to do that. He told them, this is what you practice. Well, it took a long time to get that out of them. Anyhow, so he says, don't let somebody judge you in this stuff. He said, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. So the substance is of Christ. And so we see people get over in there, you know, instead of walking in the light of things, they're following. It literally means the body is of Christ. And they say the substance, in other words, what physically counts is the body of Christ. We're part of that body. That's a real body of Christ. This is the substance of things. So he says this, verse 18, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ, well, we ask the question, if we died, have we died with Christ? According to the Bible, when you accepted Jesus, you identified yourself as dead with Christ. You identified yourself in his death, that you're dead to sin. Now, what's your alive to God? From the basic principles of the world. We're dead to the basic principles of the world. We're not alive to them. We're dead to them. Why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch. Do not taste. Do not handle. Why do you do that? You're not allowed to do this. Which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. Oh, we got a lot of doctrines of men in the church. Don't touch, don't taste, don't. There's a lot of. I tell you what, diet is taught so much in the church and loads. I know major big church ministries. The ministers are all tied up in all these diets and don't eat, and now vegetarians and all kind of stuff and crazy. And it's all fleshly. It's all fleshly stuff. Oh, yes, you're going to live a better life. You're going to do that. No, the scripture tells us this. He says, bodily exercise profits a little. It profits some. But godliness profits in all things. So, in other words, bodily exercise can have some profit to it. But I'm on spirituality is the most thing that's going to profit you the most of anything. But see, we today, it's all this natural stuff is put to the forefront. And this is why you got to watch. There's a balance to this thing. Because we have all these people today is doing all this stuff out here and tie it to spirituality. You're going to be more spiritual if you're this, or you're going to be more spiritual if you do that. Well, that don't work. Now, Listen what he says in verse 23. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom. In self-imposed religion, he calls it self-imposed religion. False humility, he calls it false humility. See, I don't touch, I don't taste. See, I'm so humble. You know, it's like we look at the things that people, we have to wear a certain kind of clothing, you know, and a woman has to wear a covering, you know, you have to wear a certain kind of suit, you got to wear a dress a certain way. You got to put on your uniform and do your thing, and you do all of that, then you're spiritual. Then you're wearing the right stuff. Now, he said, what in neglect of the body? See what he said, neglect. It can mean severe treatment of the body. You treat the body real bad, so you don't give it anything it wants. You know, you deny it everything. He said, neglect the body. But are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Do you know what it plays to? It plays to the indulgence of the flesh. That's what it'll play to. The flesh becomes dominant. The flesh becomes the things that focus on all the time. This is why diets don't work the way people do them, because it focuses on eating all the time. And the eating becomes the things that's in the person's mind all the time. And they ain't thinking about losing weight. They're always watching about eating, 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 eating. How I got to eat, eat. And that's why the food is everything. Because number one, if you're going to eat about 3 meals a day, that means you're going to focus a lot. Food's going to be on the top of the list a lot. So listen, here's what he says to focus on. This is what you do. And see, now what they did is they started a chapter here, but this is not a starting actual chapter because it has not changed the subject. They started another chapter and it's fine. They did it that way for study purposes, but it's a bad break for what is being taught, because this is right in line to what he taught. Now, because he just got saying about all this stuff of the flesh really is letting the flesh dominate you by following all this religious junk. He says this, if then you were raised with Christ, which we read back in the beginning, we're raised with Christ, that's us. We died with him, we're dead. Now, you're dead. Now, we can fact this, because you're dead, quit doing this other stuff. Being alive to the flesh. That's what they're doing. Religion's life to the flesh. That's what it is. It's letting the flesh. He said, if you died, you were raised with Christ now. He said, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Oh. See, religion always focuses on the earthly. See, you know what? If you want to bring your body into subjection, here's how you do it. You start focusing on diets and stuff. You start focusing on all this stuff. See, what did he say? If you want to bring yourself under, you want to set your mind things above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For listen, you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You're dead. Concerning the things of this earth, you're supposed to be dead to them. You're dead to it. Think about it. You're dead. You died to it. My God, you died to diets. Isn't that wonderful? Stay dead. My God, don't become alive to it. You're dead. Now, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then also we will appear with him in glory. Therefore, now he tells you what to do. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, that's the unsaved, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all in all. So he tells you what we put off. And it's interesting. You can't put things off, in other words, until you focus in the right direction. See, people get focused in the direction of the putting off first. You see, he dealt with the things. You guys, he said, don't get over in this self-imposed religion thinking that you're going to do these natural things and they're going to make you spiritual. Then he goes, what do? You seek the things where above, where Christ seated at the right hand. Set your mind on them. Then he goes in and talking about what you're dead to this stuff. You're dead. To the things of the world, you're dead. So when we look at these things and these sins, most people and most Christians are not taught that they're dead to sin. They're taught they're alive to sin. Sin takes the predominance. So, you know, you go over in the areas and whatever, they don't consider themselves. He said, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication. You put to death those things. These things are things that you put to death your members. In other words, you put to death your body. Number one, you have to know that you're dead. He said that we're dead. You and I are dead. You can't put your flesh to death until you know you're dead. If you're dead to it, then you can put it to flesh. And this is where the areas are coming in, is learning how to operate in faith. Because you can try to do all these things in the natural. You can try to bring your body under submission through the natural and end up more bound than what you were before. And thinking, boy, I've accomplished something. But what you've done, you've become focused in the natural the whole time about everything. And you haven't, you know, you become all focused on what the problems you're dealing with. And you force and enforce and trying to bring things to pass instead of operating in the spirit and bring them to pass. And that's where things come to, you know, with the areas of faith. You know, there's things that do hurt us. I mean, like, you got to admit, things as with Keith Moore said about things of oversleeping, overeating, and not taking care of yourself physically, he said, can hurt you spiritually. It can, because, see, if you do things that cause your body to dominate you, where your body rules you, that can become a problem to you. But we don't become over and get over these things by focusing on making them our focus. You get over and focused on the right things. It's amazing how things begin to change. Getting yourself focused in the right direction, focused on who you are. I am dead to these things. You know, most people would do much better on the areas of bringing their body under is if they finally figure out they're dead to eating food. They're dead to it. In other words, it don't dominate them no more. You know, if something's dead, you know, you take a person. If I've died and I'm hidden with Christ, I'm dead. If I'm dead, and I'm saying dead, he's not talking about spiritually dead. In other words, my body's dead. If I consider my body dead, a dead man's body don't do too much, does it? It ain't very dominant, is it? See, I died. My life's hidden in Christ and God. No, I died and my life is hidden in my body. And my body's... And that's why seeking the right things is start thinking the right way about yourself. Most people, most Christians don't see themselves as a spirit being. They see themselves as a physical being. The physical dominates them. You can't believe and have all your focus on your physical side without your physical dominating. It will. That's just the way it is. I'm a physical being. What's important is what's in the physical. And they never develop spiritually. They're never looking above to the self. They don't see themselves in that manner. Is looking, considering yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Paul wrote about being, consider yourself dead to sin. So in other words, the sin, he said, consider yourself dead to sin. I learned this. If you can't get over with the belief that you're dead to sin, sin will dominate you. I'm dead to it. See, we try to stop doing things because we believe we're alive to it. Paul said you're dead to it. I'm going to start agreeing with him. Think about that. I'm dead to it. I'm dead to, say, food dominating me. I'm dead to it. I'm dead to it. See, it's number one, you got to get it on the areas of faith, and this is the whole thing. This principle of faith is your victory. This is your victory in overcoming the flesh. Faith is. And the Lord had me this morning talking to me about it and use it as an example. I didn't have it down, wasn't going to use example. But, you know, on simple things, learning how to do things. There was things that really helped me along the areas of faith, learning some simple things. To me, I thought it was a big thing at first, but Kenneth Hagin made mention, I remember him, this is one of the first, you know, I'm listening to his teachings, and I remember him talking about, he said, and I've heard in later years remark about it, but when I was just a young Christian, probably only a few months old, he made mention, he said that you have to have, or from the standpoint of the physical, anything that dominates you. And he used the thing of, he said, what had happened to him, he said, drinking Coca-Cola. He said, I had gotten a job, he said, at a store. And he said at that store, he said there were some other friends of mine that worked in some other stores in town, and we would take lunch together, and we'd meet and go. And he said every day we'd stop and go over this one place and get something to eat, and we'd have a Coca-Cola. And he said, I got to the point I couldn't go without a Coca-Cola. And he said, I'd stop every time I'd want a Coca-Cola. And he said, Coca-Cola, he said, dominated me. And he said, I made a statement. I ain't going to ever have to drink another Coca-Cola again. And he never drank another Coca-Cola again, never in his life. And he said, I like iced tea. He said, I drink iced tea and I like it. But he said, I just go sometimes and stop drinking iced tea for a period of time. He said, I ain't going to let it dominate. He said, anything you natural you let dominate you that you have to have, he said, is going to affect you. And then he said this. He made this statement. He said, even a thing like an alarm clock to wake up, he said, will affect you spiritually. And I thought, man, that's a bit out there. I thought, that's a bit far out there. And he said, I'm just telling you, anything that you have to have, he said, because you can do it spiritually. And he said this then. He said, I want to wake up. He said, I just set myself on the inside. And he said, I can wake up anytime I want to. He said, I just wake up. He said, if I want to wake up at 2:30 in the morning, he said, I can wake up at 2:30 in the morning. He said, I want to. So I thought about that. Well, what does he do? He does it by faith. So he uses his faith. So I decided as a young Christian, I was going to start practicing, trying to do this. I thought, well, I'm going to see if I can make this thing work. I didn't turn off the alarm clock, I'll tell you that. Because I was But today, I can do that. I can wake up anytime I want to. But it's the principle of faith. Now, I want you to understand this. It ain't a hard thing to do. It's an easy thing to do. Do you know why people can't do it? It's because they never believe they can do it. And then number two, they never do what it requires of faith to do it. And what it requires is this. I learned this. It's saying it. I go to bed and I just, if I say, now sometimes I don't say it. I don't go to bed. I just go to sleep. I'm not concerned about the time I wake up. I'm not. But if I want to get up at a certain time, I just say this out loud to myself. I just say, I'm going to wake up, say 5:30. I'm going to wake up at 5:30. And I just say it. See, faith. You say unto this mountain, be thou removed. If you say it, I am going to. And see, you got to say it. You can't think it. Faith doesn't work by thinking. So I started practicing. I'm going to wake up 5:30 in the morning. I'll tell you what, I'd wake up 5:30 in the morning. I mean, I can do it. I've done it. You know, I'm going to wake up at this time or that time. I just say it. See, that's what faith does. You say it. So what he's talking about, what he was talking about, using faith in areas of your life to control your body. James said this. James said, if you can control your tongue, you can control the whole body. The problem that we have is most of the church today confesses what the world says about eating, health, everything. Our confession and our belief is tied to what the world says about it. And what happens is we're not submitted to the Word of God, and we're not submitted to our own human spirit of what our own human spirit can do. And you know, when I started first doing it, I wasn't, you know, great at doing this, but I started doing it. And I mean, for years, I mean, you can ask Wanda, if I say I wake up in the morning a certain time, and I wake up, I get up. Sunday mornings and that stuff, I get up and I'll have an alarm set, but I get up and I'll wake up and then I'll have my phone set and I'll just go over and delete it off the thing here and that stuff and I'll set it. But I say, I'm going to wake up at a certain time, and I wake up at that time. You start to do that. Just you start practicing things. There's nothing matter. You know, alarm clock ain't a sin, but it can affect your spirituality, is what he's talking about. In other words, it can affect you if you don't ever use your spirit in that area. And so he's telling you, you can learn to use your spirit in that area. And start to practice those things. And I'll tell you what, those things helped me immensely. When I realized that I could start doing that, I thought, oh man, I can do a lot of other things. And that's when the Lord took me over to James and said, James said, if you control your tongue, you can control the whole body. I thought, wow. So I can tell you this, why most people's body is out of hand. It's because of what they say. Well, I know I shouldn't be eating this, and I know I shouldn't. I'm going to tell you what, they just condemn themselves. And they'll say things that ain't nothing wrong with them eating it. Well, I shouldn't eat dessert. Well, if, you know, not every meal, you know, breakfast would be a good time not to have dessert. I mean, I don't know. But if you're going to eat it at breakfast, I wouldn't do it. You know what I mean? And if you're going to, maybe a little bit, you know. Some people can sit down. I heard Ken Copeland say this. He said, you know, I was always the one, if you gave me a candy bar, he'd eat the whole thing. He said, not my wife. He said, she takes them little bites off of it and sits it down. He said, not me. You eat the paper and everything. So in other words, you got to govern yourself in that area. So to govern himself in that area, if you're going to eat the whole bar, then it's good you don't do that often during the day. Wouldn't that be the thing to do? But sitting down, I mean, eat something healthy. I was watching TV one time, and I had this thing on, was this guy, huge weight. I mean, this guy weighed probably 800 pounds. He was talking about eating healthy. I eat healthy. Look how I'm so fat. He said, I eat fruit every day, 23 oranges. It was never in his mind that eating oranges, they said, my God, no wonder you weigh so much. You really have so many calories you're taking in, how much sugar. Well, oranges are good for you. Not 23, I mean. But see, a person gets in their mind, gets stupid, and they're thinking, and goes over eating 23 plus other food and thinking, I'm eating healthy food. Yeah, you eat healthy food. But really, what happens? Food dominated his life. It dominated him. And so it's getting over where we can let our voice, and I can tell you this for sure. If I want to lose some weight, I first have to get my mouth saying the right stuff. Most people are looking for the diet. All wrong. All wrong. No spirituality in it. They don't use any spirit. They don't use their spirit to help them. They go right to the natural to help them. And I found this. I struggle with things until I get my believing and saying right. I'll struggle with it. Once I get my believing right and my saying right, I can do it. You know, I put some weight back on. I decided I want to take some weight off. So what I did, I started saying the right things. I started saying, praise God, I'm losing weight. My appetite ain't going to control me. I'm not going to be hungry all the time. I'm not going to do that. My body's not going to dominate. See, first I set in line, start speaking the right things, start saying the right. I'm dead to food. You got to start saying the right. See, people, we've been trained the way the world does it, and the church acts exactly in line with the world. Yeah, I remember Brother Hagin talking about going out and playing golf with some of the young guys and that stuff that he knew and things, and he'd go out and play. And they say, now, Brother Hagin was not an exercise guy for sure, but and he didn't play golf a lot. He wouldn't play golf. But he'd go out and play, and he said the young guys used to say to him, well, how do you get out here and walk around this thing and I'll do all this stuff? He said, I use my faith. He said, I come out here, and he said, I tell my body what it's going to do. See, people don't, we go to the natural. If we're going to go to the gym to work out, we're going to think about it completely like the world does about it thinking out. And we're going to struggle like the world does to do the things. And our body, we're trying to force our body into something instead of using our faith and commanding something to change. That this is going to change. See, it's like the whole idea approaching a diet, as some people approach diet. People approach diet, I'm going to take this diet because I need to lose weight, so I'm going to try this diet. And the whole thing of it is no faith whatsoever in it. Once I set myself in an area of faith, I know I'm going to lose weight. That's going to happen. Ain't going to happen no other way. It's going to take place. I have said, I believe, and I have said, it's going to take place. This is happening. Now, I learned this. I don't change what I eat. I change how much I eat and how often I do it if I want to lose some weight. But you know, I found I am not, when I am not, unless the Lord tells me to quit eating something, I'm not going to change what I eat. Just to make, you know, if I like something, I'm going to eat it. I'm just not going to eat as much. I can still have dessert. I just don't have to eat the whole box of ice cream. I just, you know, just eat it, eat a couple scoops and smile and walk away. But you start talking to your body that your body will do that. That your body, you're going to obey that. You're going to do it. Your body's going to crave. It ain't going to dominate your body. But see, people say, people never use their faith. The faith is never used. And see, I didn't realize starting over in that thing without using, waking my body up in the mornings when I wanted to was a huge step of understanding this thing. At least for me it was. Maybe something else works for somebody else. But that thing really helped me a lot. Of learning that I can dictate things to my body. I can dictate to my body what it'll do. And so this is where the areas of submission and getting our body to submit has been done through the natural. It has not been done through the Spirit. It's not been done that way. In fact, we have no teaching. I don't know anybody teaches it on that way. They say, well, you just stay away from this and you just stay away from that. Don't have this and don't have that. And, you know, so don't eat, don't touch, don't taste. Well, you can do that if you want to. But you know, one thing is I found out the don't touch, don't taste thing. You know what happens? When you do, it's almost like you get an addiction to it when you do, if you break that rule. See, you'll live in condemnation. You can't, well, I can't eat this and I can't eat that. I can't have this and I can't. People tell me I can't eat this. I spirit-filled people tell me that all the time. I can't this and I can't that. And I look at them and I think, poor old person. Well, of course you can't do it. You said you can't. If I eat that, that's going to do this. Oh, I'm going to have this. I'm going to have that. Their mouth has set in motion and has dictated to them. And they're sitting there talking like they believe it's all true. And what they're saying, and this Ed, he's a weirdo. He just don't get it. And they'll talk about being faith people. But most of their life, what they live, isn't faith at all. And they wonder why they come down, they get sick, they have trouble getting healed. It's because they never practice faith in their life. The flesh is always allowed to dominate. And they even say it does. And then they're trying to get sickness off of it when they have admitted that the body don't have to listen to nothing. I hope you understand. This is not to put anybody in condemnation. I feel bad for people because they haven't been taught these things and they're not taught. They're taught to the natural. And it's getting spirit. One thing is I've found in my Christian walk, if I can get in line spiritually, man, that is hugely takes the fight out of dealing with physical stuff. Where my problem is when I try to change things in the natural and I haven't lined up in the spirit. That's when it's just Ed. And that usually don't work out well for Ed. You know, some people have more willpower than others, and there's some things I have some real willpower in, but there's a lot of things I don't. I got to get spiritual power running. And what I do by my willpower, I always give Ed the credit for it. God never gives. You're going to find what people do by the way, look what I did. Back about probably, I would say probably goes back close to, not quite 10 years, but probably pretty close to 10 years ago. Probably about that long. The Lord showed me something on doing a thing one time when I was back dealing with him about this diet, things about eating. So I wanted to, I was doing some partial fasting. So I said to the Lord what I was going to do is just like, you know, what Daniel did the fast. He said he ate no pleasant thing, you know, and that stuff. And so what I did was, I would eat, like, say, maybe during the day sometime, I'd eat some, like, some cereal. Like, eat some cereal, eat, you know, I would maybe drink a little V8 or something, and I would, you know, eat some cereal and that stuff. And I got over in a thing, and the Lord taught me a lesson, because I got over in this area, because I said, Lord, I said, I'm not doing this thing to lose weight. I didn't at that time want to lose a bunch more weight. I didn't want to do it. I said, it's fasting, but I don't want to lose a lot of weight. It's not what I'm interested in. I said, I'm doing this fasting, bringing my body under control. And the Lord said this to me. He said, oh, he said, you could do this and you don't have to lose any weight. And I knew what he was saying. I need to make a confession about this thing. And, you know, I went for almost 2 weeks of doing this. And I would, I wasn't praying all the time, but I would be doing other work I had to do. But I would take times out of prayer that I normally didn't. And I would just keep my body, not feeding it all the time. For one thing is getting the body where it isn't dominating you. You know, it's so you can hear things in prayer. You know, fasting don't change God, it changes us is what it does. And I did that for 2 weeks and never lost a pound. It'd go the opposite way. See, you'd think, well, now I'm going to do this to do that. Using my face, he told me, you don't have to lose any weight. I mean, I'd go get on the scale, never lost a pound, stayed exactly the same as I was. Ate a whole lot less. Stayed the same weight. It is amazing. Amazing what your voice can do. When it's hooked up to the inner man. Get the inner man believing in a direction. When the Lord told me about that, I never even considered that before. Never even considered. He said, oh, you don't have to lose weight to do this. See, the effect of what I want is bringing the body under concerning, so it's not letting the body dominate me and wanting to eat. And I pray, I want to hear from God, and I don't want to be dominated by my flesh. But he said, you don't have to lose weight to do this. Oh, that's the weirdest thing in the world. I mean, and it did. For 2 weeks, I did that. Never lost a pound. I don't eat cereal once a day. I eat some cereal. I eat regular, just a bowl of cereal. That's what I eat during the day. And drink maybe a juice. And I drank water the rest of the time. I would just drink water and do that every day. And absolutely amazing. But, and this is what I want to get over, because in this area, there really needs to be teaching from the standpoint, things are really out of balance. Today in the church world, teaching, faith teaching is way out of balance. And it isn't taught from where its real need is and helping people overcome. We're still, people are trying to overcome by willpower. And a lot of ministers are doing it themselves. It's, you know, you just got to quit doing this. Well, you know, most people say, well, I like to. You know, this, I found out like things with smoking and things like that. If I can get a person moving in a direction to start to say and speak the right things and believe the right things, they'll quit smoking. I can get them to do that. But see, as long as they think, well, I have to have it. I can't do without it. Well, okay, that's your flesh talking. Now, if you keep staying with your flesh, it's going to dominate you. You can't have it. You can't do without it. You got to have it. You're going to do it. They started, and it's like, you know, this goes back years ago. This goes back over 30 years ago that I heard Kenneth Copeland did it to a young man. He told him, a young man said he wanted to quit smoking. He got saved and he smoked. And he said, I want to quit. I don't want to do this. But he said, I'm bound. Kenneth Copeland said, now, every time you go light up a cigarette, I want you to say this. Thank God I'm free of cigarettes. I don't smoke anymore. He said, what? He said, I'm going to tell you to do that. He said, when I light a cigarette, I'm supposed to say that? He said, yes. He said, but I'm going to lie. He said, look, just do it. Say it. Will you do that? Okay, I'll do it. He started saying that. A few weeks later, he goes back to Kenneth Copeland and said, oh, my God. He said, I'd say that. He said, I'd say that. Dick, this thing, this is the dumbest thing in the world. Doing it, saying that. He said, I went with that. He said, for a couple weeks, he said, I'm down there. And he said, I light a cigarette. He said, all of a sudden, it dawned on me. I don't have to smoke anymore. He said, I thought, what am I doing? I don't need to smoke anymore. But he said, I ain't had a cigarette since. See, you get over saying, and see, we're not using spirituality to bring our flesh under. We're trying to do it all through willpower. And this is why in our society, has it worked? No. It hasn't worked. Well, of course it hasn't worked. We're trying to do it the world's way. All trying to succeed through the flesh, everything through the flesh, and we're trying to do that. Dr. Lillian Yeoman, who got born again, she was a doctor in a hospital in New York, became a drug addict through taking drugs to try to stay awake and stuff in the hospital because the hours she worked and did things. But anyhow, she got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Her and her sister ran a home. They came from quite wealthy parents. She had wealthy parents, and they had this big house. And her parents died, and they turned it into a thing for sick people. And they bring people in who were, you know, medically going to die. They'd bring like people in to stay, and they'd give them a room in the house. And what they would do is they would read scriptures to them. And she read scriptures on healing. She had this one woman. She read scriptures on healing, and she said, "I want you to read these things every day, and then I want you to say what those scriptures say about you." And she said, "This woman just, this is crazy. This woman's dying of TB." She's bedridden, can't get out of bed. But he has reading these things, and she'd go back day after day and talk to the woman, and the woman would complain, "Yeah, I'm doing what you say. I read these like you say. I read these like 5 or 6 times a day. I read these scriptures, and then I confess them." And as a man, and she said, "I do this, but this is crazy. Why you have me doing this?" And she just, "You just keep doing it. Will you keep doing it for me?" "Yeah, I'll keep doing it." The woman did it. She said her and her sister were downstairs in the kitchen one day doing swearing, and all of a sudden they heard somebody jump out of bed and go like, "Oh, praise God." And they heard these footsteps pattern across the floor and down the steps. And they said, this woman came running down the steps, and she said to them, she said, "Did you know that Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sickness?" Well, see, when she finally got her saying the right things and not saying other stuff that she had been saying, I've always, that's why I listen to what people say. I don't care what anybody says to me they have faith. I don't care they say that. That matters not. I want to hear what you're talking. We'll find out where your faith's at. My faith is in my speech. What I believe is on my voice. And if I want to change things about what I believe, I got to get my voice in a direction. I got to get my start saying the things I want to head in the direction to. Start saying those things and say, it's powerful. Jesus said you can move mountains doing it. Dear Lord, my body ain't as big as a mountain lately. If I can move the mountain with it, I think we could do something about Ed's body, all right? You know? So we're doing this. And really, this deals in the area of submission. We want to bring our bodies under submission, but we want to bring it under our spirits. And this is, to me, is really the big thing that people are dealing with. We can push all this out of don't touch, don't taste, don't do this, and don't do that. And it don't work. I mean, just think about this in the natural. Do we have laws against stealing, lying, murder, all that stuff? Yeah. Well, if we have the laws, then the prisons are empty, aren't they? Do people obey laws because? No. You can make the rules and regulations, and people don't. Now, some people don't go to prison. Does the majority of people not want to kill anybody just because there's a law? They never think about doing it. No. They still think about choking grandma. Well, see, that isn't what works. Think about this. The children of Israel had the law of God, what God would take to please God. Did it work for them? Messiah came, he had a clue. It never was. The only thing the law was ever supposed to show them is they couldn't keep it. They needed something more. They took the law and they loved it. And they took the law and made it, I'm going to follow this thing here to the T. And they got over following it to the T and never understood. They weren't even following it to the T. Nothing had really changed about them. They were still the people who hated the other guy, but they didn't kill him just because the law said so. But you know what? They had never changed. And this is the whole thing of Christ. And the church needs to understand this. I don't care if our society says I can kill somebody, go murder someone. I ain't doing it. I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to do that. It's not in my nature to want to just go kill them. Go commit murder. I don't want to do that. Well, see, and that's the whole thing, is the nature that we have, letting what's in the inside become the dictate on the outside. How much do you want to dictate to your outside what you want to do? Do it by faith. God will get the glory. And number one, you'll end up walking in the balance of what you're supposed to. You're not dominated by rules. You don't live, I can't touch, can't taste, don't do this, don't do that, you know. Paul talked about, you know, Paul said whatever a day said. Some people consider every day holy. Some people consider certain days holy. He said, whatever you do whichever one, you know. It's like I was born and raised. Sunday was your holy day and all that. And anybody did it any other way, it was wrong. Well, they never paid no attention to the Bible. God said whatever. If a guy want to have every day's holy, you don't want to, you know, any certain day ain't special, that's up to you. And see, we have all the special days. And boy, I tell you, you hang to the special day. Paul said, if you want to have one. But you don't tell everybody else they had to have the one you got. Maybe you like the one you got. Have at it. But everybody else don't have to do it. Sunday don't have to be the holy day. And they say, well, you know, Sunday's a Sabbath. The Sunday has never been the Sabbath. The Sabbath is Saturday, dictated by the law. Sunday was the first day of the week. Jesus Christ was not raised on the Sabbath. He was raised on a Sunday, which was not the Sabbath. The day before, he was not. He wasn't on Saturday. It was the first day of the week, a Sunday. That's the day he was raised from the dead. Because the Sabbath was the end of the week, which was Saturday. And the first day was Sunday. And that was the Jews had, that was their day. The church didn't follow that. the church started doing what they did it and celebrated because he was raised from the dead. They started celebrating that as the and started meeting together on that day because of his resurrection. To celebrate resurrection was the first day of the week was resurrection. They did it. But they didn't do it because it was the Sabbath. I never did. But see, people get into weird stuff, get into their thinking on that thing. And people don't get spiritual, then they get weird about things. Be spiritual. Learn how to use your faith. Just learn how to practice at things. You know, you know, it's just like with me. When the Lord really witnessed to me about this thing with an alarm clock. Well, it's number one, you know, I had enough sense to know don't turn off the alarm when you start doing this thing because, you know, you do have to go to work in things, and it would be good you got there in time, and that would be a nice thing. But I started practicing it in that, in using my faith, started saying things, started learning to get on the inside of me. See, I believe totally now, I believe totally on the inside of me, and for years and years, that I can do that. So you got to get it on the inside that you can do that. That might take some time, but start to say it. You know, I can do it. I can do it. Paul, I'd always say, James said, if I can control my tongue, I can control my whole body. So if I tell my body when to get up, my spirit man can tell my body when to get up. And see, I learned, just in a simple thing like that, I learned to take that and turn to practice in other things concerning my body, of bringing my body into subjection. And I learned, you know, to dealing with areas of food and things like that, of saying things. Food's not going to dominate me. It's not going to rule me. Food's not going to do that. You see, you got to say the right thing. These people are, man, I just can't help it. I'm just hungry all the time. Why don't you start saying you're not hungry all the time? Food don't dominate you. Yeah, but that ain't true. See, whatever their flesh tells them is the truth. Don't matter what God said, you know. God said you can tell this mountain to move. I'm sorry, you can't do that. That was figurative. So I just want to encourage you. We didn't go far into this, but I just want to encourage you because I believe this is a big deal. I believe the church would learn this thing because this is the bottom line to faith of where faith comes from. It's based on all this stuff. So you can learn to go through anything at all and can go through, I mean, tough times in life where you're feeling, you know, real obstacles in life. But if you learn these things, these principles, you'll say the right things and you won't face the obstacles in life like other people do. You'll deal with them, and you'll go through them with a lot more confidence and stuff. You won't be going through and wringing your hands in situations. You'll know how to speak about things and say about things concerning yourself and what you're dealing with, saying the right things and learning these. And there's things that I've learned over time I will not say. I will not say certain things about sickness and disease concerning myself. I will not say it. I don't care what anybody else says, but I won't say certain things because, you know, I've learned over time. If I keep my voice in the right direction, I can let what's inside of me come out rather than let my flesh dominate. And, you know, people, well, this always happens to me. See, well, no wonder. You said it always happens. Why would you expect it would stop? It always happens. You're reinforcing the thing. Now, see, some people, that's going too far. No, it's not. Because they have an expectation of things going wrong. That's what they're expecting. Faith is my expectation. They're using their faith to bring it to pass and then complain about it. And this is one of the things is losing, you know, is I realize this. When the Lord started dealing with me back to Kenneth Hagin, and Kenneth Hagin said, your life turned out the way that you made it. You know, and today it's all, well, the way I was raised and this and that and the other thing. No, I got old enough to make my own decisions and my life wasn't turning out good. And Ed was the problem. Because I could change it, but I had to learn how to change it. And it wasn't just, you know, doing natural things could change it. I found out that spiritual things would help me, and I was speaking against myself. I was blaming others for my problems, and I was doing things, and I had to find out that I had to set things in a right motion. Start using my inner man to control my outer man, because my real problem was my outer man surely did dominate me. Oh, my Lord. My outer man was ruling and reigning. And changing that. So I just encourage you in that area is find things that don't you know, it's like, you know, don't try to pick the hardest thing in your life and just go right after that one. That's not, don't do that. That don't work. You know, as the Lord had me telling a guy, I was in a wheelchair one time, the Lord told me to go up and say to him, how do you need an elephant? And I thought, why do you want me to say that? Because I've heard people say that thing. And he looked at me just really dumb. I said, well, how do you eat an elephant? He said, I don't know. I said, one bite at a time. And I said, that's the way you're coming out of that chair. I said, you're trying to just everything and just jump right out of that chair. I said, you'll come out of there one bite at a time. You start doing the right things now. Start practicing the right things. Your faith will rise to the point. You'll come out of that chair. See, what he wanted is to take his faith from way down here to way up there. And he had to start doing, he wasn't saying some of the right things. He wasn't doing, he needed to start doing those things one bite at a time. So you get into this area's underneath. This is all part of spiritual development and growth. So don't get yourselves over to where you're, get down on yourself. Well, I've been doing this and it hadn't been working right. You just keep practicing, keep practicing, keep doing the right thing. Don't get weary in well doing. Because in due season, it says you'll reap. So you just keep doing the right thing. And it's one of the things I say, set it on something small, because you want things that encourage you to go to the next level. If you don't have that, you know, I've watched people do that and get into failure, where they're trying to go from here to there, and they're shooting up here, and they can't bring it to pass, and they'll quit after a while. They just get over, well, I can't bring. If they would have shot at a lower level here and gained that, it would have been an encouragement to them, and their faith could have went to the next level. And then they could have went a little higher and a little higher. It's like the Lord told me. Now, I had years of practice in calling money in, but he wanted to change how I was doing it. And so he told me, you start off, he said, believe for $5,000 to come. I said, okay. So I believe for $5,000. Then he said, well, when the $5,000 come, believe for $10,000. See, he didn't start me off the thing. He didn't start. Hey, he said this to me. He said, I want you to have millions. Well, he didn't tell me to start believing for millions right away, did he? $5,000 is a bit short of a million. Well, see, he knew. I had brought money in before and seen, thousands of dollars in. I'd done that kind of stuff. But he took me over to start where he knows I could work at. Well, and I came in. He said, go to the $10,000. And I went to the $10,000. And it's work from there. You go from those spots. You do those. And so it's the same way. Just follow that principle in your own life. Just pick something. Don't be huge, but something that you'll accomplish, and you can encourage your faith to do something else. Say, well, I'm going to go to this next one. This is what I'm going to do. See, in learning in those things, those helped me. Before, like when I started off as a Christian, money dominated my flesh because I didn't have it. So you're trying to get it. So I had, as I learned the principles, so you know what? Money didn't dominate me in my flesh anymore. So whether it seemed like it was there or not. But before it used to. But see, once I learned how to believe God and receive money, that killed that thing. That put it to death for me. See, because it was like, but I started believing the right way. After a while, I didn't have a problem with that anymore. I just didn't. I saw Wanda. I mean, Wanda thought I was totally insane when we first started off, you know. But once Wanda found out that thing worked, you don't worry about money, about nothing. She don't worry about that at all. She was worse at it than I was. But she don't worry about it at all. I mean, Wanda today will be the first one to tell me. I'll say, let's give $1,000 or $2,000 to this. She'll say, why don't we give $2,500? Okay. She'll up it. She'll do that all the time, up the ante. But she sure wasn't like that. But once she found out, well, we sure didn't start there. Like, tell a story. We tell you, we start $20. My words, we thought we got a million, not $20. But it came supernaturally, and it did. She's walking down the street, and it was not windy, but all of a sudden this breeze blew, and a $20 bill blew up to her feet. I got to tell somebody that's exactly. But $20 came, and I'm going to tell you, you would have thought we got a million. We're believing God now. We was something else we're believing God for, and we jumped into it and started believing God, and money started coming in. Started doing that. We just started setting ourselves doing, you know. And I mean, we didn't go from 20 to 100. 20 to 40 was pretty big. But you can do that, and do that with your faith. And use it concerning your body, dealing with your body. But talk about your body being dead to whatever it is you want to deal with. Tell it, it's dead. My body's dead. I'm alive to God. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly place. I'm alive to God. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to my body. My body isn't dominating and ruling me. It won't do that. And you start talking that and start saying those things and getting yourself in the right area. Because that's God's plan for your life. That's what God has planned for you. He planned to do that. And so you're in the will of God. Really, to say any difference, a lie. Hallelujah. And we ain't liars, are we? Glory to God. Father, we just want to say thank you today. Lord, I thank you for the things you had me bring out because, Lord, I do believe if anything we're going to talk about submission, this is one of the most important parts because, Lord God, we can do things but not by faith. And, Lord God, without faith we don't please you. And, Lord God, you want us to use faith. It ain't just about making you happy. It's because faith will bring the things we desire to pass in our lives. And I want to thank you for that. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us these things, showing us and teaching us how to bring our flesh under. Lord God, Lord, so your plans and purposes can be worked out in our lives. And so Jesus Christ is glorified and magnified. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.